It is every kid's worst nightmare, and 6-year-old Jaden Hayes has lived it twice. First, he lost his dad when he was 4. Then last month, his mom died unexpectedly in her sleep.
I tried and I tried, I tried to get her away. Couldn't.
Jaden is understandably heartbroken.
Anybody can die. Just anybody.
But there's another side to his grief. A side he first made public a few weeks ago when he told his aunt and now guardian, Barbara DeCola, that he was sick and tired of seeing everyone sad all the time. And he had a plan to fix it.
And that was the beginning of it. That's where the adventure began.
Jaden asked his Aunt Barbara to buy a bunch of little toys and bring them here to downtown Savannah, Georgia, near where he lives.
Thank you, sweetie.
So he could then...
You want me to have it?
Give them away.
Thank you, man.
What is it you're doing?
Well, I'm trying to make people smile. Rubber duckies, dinosaurs.
Because those are the things that make people smile.
Yeah.
And what happens to their face? Really?
Really.
See that man right there?
Jaden targets people who aren't already smiling and then turns their day around.
You made me smile.
He's gone out on 4 different occasions now, and he's always successful.
It's to make you smile.
Even if sometimes he doesn't get exactly the reaction he was hoping for. It is just so overwhelming to some people that a 6-year-old orphan would give away a toy, expecting nothing in return except a smile. Of course, he is paid handsomely in hugs. And his aunt says these reactions have done wonders for Jaden.
It's like sheer joy came out of this child. And the more people that he made smile, the more this light showed.
Jaden says that's mostly true.
But I'm still sad that my mom died.
I bet you are.
This is by no means a fix. But in the smiles he's made so far, nearly 500 at last count, Jaden has clearly found a purpose.
I'm counting on it to be 33,000.
33,000?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big goal.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can make that goal?
I think I can.
I think he just did. Steve Hartman on the road in Savannah, Georgia.
I saw that video and I thought, here is a 6-year-old boy who has, I think even unbeknownst to him, grabbed a hold of something far, far, and like I said, far more, even more valuable than he realizes, and something that all of us would do well to grasp, and really what it is, it's applying a scriptural principle that I want us to look at this morning. Here's a couple of questions. Is it possible to have joy even in the midst of tragic circumstances? At least in one example, yes. The truth is that it's not only possible, but we were designed to, even in the midst of tough circumstances, to rejoice and to not just exist, not just survive, but thrive even in the midst. I want to read an excerpt. I read part of this last week, and due to time, just felt like just wanted to cut it short. But I wanted to read a couple of paragraphs, if you'll bear with me, out of the book Intertwined. Our happiness is tied. The subtitle would be Our Happiness is Tied to God's Honor. Intertwined. And I'm just jumping into the middle of his example. He says, or take my friend Mike, for example. Mike has a less than desirable work situation. I don't know very many people with a less than desirable work situation. He is grateful, however, to have a job, but the mundane tasks of his position can be truly grueling. Mike, however, has committed to not being a complainer, but rather has embraced his current work situation as an opportunity to honor God by making him his ultimate treasure even when life circumstances are less than desirable. Mike explains that when he realized his purpose in life was not to have the most amazing job ever, but to serve God and enjoy Him in every situation he finds himself in, then his work situation suddenly becomes something much more than mundane. It became the highest calling anyone could ever have, to work in the service of the King. Mike's internal happiness is no longer governed by his external circumstances. Now listen to the next couple of, just a couple of short paragraphs. He goes on to write, as children, we imagined we would find the perfect spouse, the perfect job, buy the perfect house, go on perfect adventures, and, well, have the perfect life. Yes? Somewhere along the way, however, we quickly realized we will experience many things on this earth, but perfection is certainly not one of them. But despite all of this, God has made a way for our hearts to be full of extreme joy, even when the journey is full of tragedies, and fleeting pleasures, and mostly mundane experiences at best. In a wonderful turn of events, an honest look at the Bible reveals that God does not command us to glorify Him for His good, but actually for ours. Let me read that again. In a wonderful turn of events, an honest look at the Bible reveals that God does not command us to glorify Him for His good, but actually for ours. Our internal happiness can never be sustained by external circumstances, for the perfect earthly life is a fading vapor for anyone who seeks to attain it. No, our only hope for joy is to link our good with His glory, for only God is perfect, thus only He has perfect love to give. This morning I want us to continue our study in Philippians chapter 4. Last week, the theme verse was rejoice in the Lord always. And this morning I want us to look at verse 13, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, that is not only truth of Your word, but Lord, we want that to be the declaration of our hearts, of our lives. Lord, that even in the midst of the less than perfect, doesn't have to be just tragedies and heartache, but even when things are just a little off, or where things just don't go the way we think we should, or when things are harder than we think they ought to be, Lord, that we recognize that we can, in You, do all that You ask us to do, all that we face in life through Your strength. And Lord, we want to tap in this morning directly to the power that You provide Your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read, I'm going to read about 10 verses out of Philippians 4. I'm going to read starting at verse 4, which is what we began last week. But I want to read this morning out of the Message translation. I don't have it for you on the board, but we'll get to that. You can just kind of hold off on that slide for about 2 minutes. This is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in the Message. It says this, celebrate God. This is his translation of rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Even as I am reading that, I see the smile of the little boy. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. In fact, can we say that phrase? Is that too long of a phrase? Let petitions and prayers shape your worries into prayers. I misquoted my own quote there. Let petitions and praises shape your worries, shape your... It's good advice. Letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You had just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have, Paul is saying, in the prison from which he is writing, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally, which is quite a statement, picturing him writing from a prison. I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Now you can put that verse 13. This is the Amplified version of this. I can do all things which he has called me to do, through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I love the Amplified's version. I'm just glad that the requirement isn't to memorize it in the Amplified, but it really spells it out in just dissects and communicates clearly what exactly Paul is trying to, not just what he's experienced, but what he's trying to convey and emphasizing that the church must embrace. This is such, I mentioned this last week, and I'll say it again, this book of Philippians is got to be the most practical book in all of Scripture. And not that these truths are any more important, but if there are truths that we must simply embrace and apply to our lives, it's the practice of rejoicing always, not allowing worry to be the center of life, and learning to be content no matter what, and realizing that our strength to do these things comes only from God. And it's that I want to talk a little bit about this morning. I caught, I didn't want to play the clip, but I saw a clip of one of our pastors, one of our Foursquare pastors, being interviewed on the Los Angeles Evening News. And I know Matthew Barnett. Anybody recognize Matthew Barnett? Pastor of Angelus Temple and in charge of the Dream Center, of where they house some like 800 people who have been on the streets, who have been addicts, who have just quite a ministry that they have down there. And somehow, and I've just heard about this, but I've got to find a little bit more because this is just this is just sheer craziness. And if I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes, I just wouldn't believe it. But he has announced that he has a goal that come this January, he is intending to run not one marathon, 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents. I use it to just say as an example, that's not really the kind of strength that we're talking about this morning, about doing, you know, feats that seem not just impossible, but maybe not even all that smart. Far be it for me to criticize and that's not the point is, it's just those kinds of things we see and hear about other feats, and it's not that God is you know, that we're looking to tap into some becoming Superman or some accomplishing something like that. It's rather, I can do all things with His strength, and in the context here is that I can with His strength be content. I can not only be content in every situation through His strength, I can be content. Through His strength, I can rejoice always. Through His strength. Through His strength, I can face Goliaths. I can face den of lions. I can face difficulties. I can face the valley of the shadow of death. I can face loss or disappointment or despair or even unanswered prayer. I can face, with His strength, I can face the realities of life, the disappointments. I can face the future. I can face even when there is cause or there has the appearance of, you know, of when I'm afraid or that which is spurring or motivating fear. I can face and I can draw strength from God. I can be strengthened to love. I can receive strength. God can, He provides strength to, that we can serve, strength to forgive, strength to overlook, strength to, in the midst of tragedy, minister and put a smile on people's face. With His strength, we can do all things that He has called us to do. Yes? So last week, I talked about, instead of holding on to the worries and the things that bring anxiety, to, like a quarterback hands off the ball, handing off those things to God. And literally, you know, prayer in some ways is literally just saying, is realizing as you're talking to God, God saying, I've got that. I've got it covered. I'm going to take care of that. And realizing that there are times when we're holding on to things and God's saying, if you just give it to me. Sometimes we hold on to the wrong things, don't we? And we don't realize. And I think that's a behind even where this scripture is. As we let go of some of those things, we allow the strength that God has for us to come to us. And as I mentioned, that's what I want us to look at this morning, is just how we tap in. I mean, we can quote these verses, but how do we apply them? How do we practically apply drawing strength from the Lord, rather than just, you know, quoting a verse and saying, yeah, I've got this verse down. I can quote it without even, I can even quote it in the Amplified. You know, it's not that we can quote verses, it's that we can allow those verses to penetrate and be the foundation of applying and walking in our lives. I heard Pastor Craig Groeschel say one time, and I took notes, how to be dissatisfied. Got pen and paper and wrote it right down. So you don't need to do that. But I just, number one, focus on being ungrateful. Number two, compare what you have to people who have more. Number three, pursue temporary possessions over eternal possessions. And number four, develop an attitude of entitlement. Not only are those steps to dissatisfaction, but to weakness, to the very thing that just saps and takes the very life out of us. When everything is focused on self and what I need and what I want, it is just the opposite. It's just really the opposite of what needs to take place in our lives. It doesn't make sense. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But when the Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength," out of Nehemiah, there is something there that we must recognize the truth of that. That just the joy that God gives becomes a source of strength like no other. I mentioned that I was wondering whether in fact convinced that the six-year-old boy that I keep referring to fully recognized the far-reaching effects. But I just, you know, not only does he the blessing that he brings and is bringing to people, not only has he exchanged his status from a victim to a minister, he is the recipient. You know, he's also the recipient of much joy. Yes? Resulting in, you know, there you can just see the strength of spirit that is developed in him, and as well as fulfillment that comes from that. And so even in the midst of his pain, even in the midst of his tragic circumstances, because of his choosing not to joy because of what's taking place, but realizing, and in fact, here was the key line. He was quoted as saying, "I'm sick and tired of seeing people cry," and realizing that it wasn't just, you know, his own grief, but recognizing that there's times when we need to make statements like that. I'm sick and tired of living all about me and what I want and what my what is comfortable for me, what will fulfill me, what brings me happiness, and focusing on the circumstances of my life, and as a result, it changed his grief to his focus on his grief to his focus on his mission, which is the exact principle behind the truth of Isaiah 61. Let me just read a few verses out of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." I'm gonna rephrase that to us, because I believe this is exactly what is true. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, that is, freedom from things like shame and condemnation. He has anointed us to bring release from darkness for the prisoners, those imprisoned by things like hopelessness and despair, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or heaviness. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, which is literally a rephrasing, if you will, of Philippians 4, in the sense that it's choosing, it's literally the picture of making an exchange. I'm going to exchange this spirit of despair and disappointment when tragedy strikes for a garment of praise, choosing to make an exchange. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, or to reveal his glory, one version says. And so listen to the strength of this scripture, that my prayer would be that we would hear that the secret to being content, the secret to rejoicing always, is really one and the same. And again, on the surface, it doesn't seem to make sense. It seems like, in fact, just the opposite, but that the secret being to the emptying, if you will, of oneself, or the setting aside of our own interests and wants and such, but living our lives to serve with the goal to serve rather than to be served. Sound like someone you know? Instead of living life selfishly and living life all about me, and the tendency is to think just the opposite. If I could have, you know, his house, or his job, or her car, or his motorcycle, or his salary, or her income, or those kinds of things that we think would bring happiness and fulfillment, instead of if the circumstances or the things that we're looking to are the basis of happiness and contentment, then the absence of those bring just the opposite. And they only bring, at best, temporary fulfillment, not lasting fulfillment. Yes? The truth is that when we focus on others and serving others, there's nothing that is greater, that brings greater fulfillment and greater happiness. And when I focus on what I need and what I want, and just simply consumed, it's all about me and how much I can acquire, how much I can accomplish. You know, probably one of the best examples, and we'll close this morning with this. Show the picture of this next photo. Isn't that pretty? What do you think? What is that? It is salt. It's not the Great Salt Lake. It is Dead Sea. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to show this particular photo because it really is a pretty picture, isn't it? But the reason I wanted to show this photo is because it really clearly shows that it's not so much that it looks dead, but when you realize it's shrinking. It's not just dead, it's shrinking. And yet the Jordan River feeds this sea. And too often our lives are a picture of the Dead Sea, where it's everything is all about me. It's you know, there's all this inflow, but there's never any outflow. Just above the Dead Sea is the Sea of Galilee. I don't have a picture of that, but you saw in the one in the verses the picture of the Jordan River that feeds both. But it's an amazing thing that the same river, Jordan River, feeds the Sea of Galilee. It's teeming with life. It is flourishing, and people have fun on the. But there's fish. It's full of fish. It's been fished for centuries, and yet it is just so full of life, and is constantly giving. And yet, all the water that the Jordan that flows into it also flows out of it and flows into the Dead Sea. And yet nothing flows out of the Dead Sea. I'm just thinking that is a great picture of how we would want to pattern our life after, rather than, and I guess that's what I'm asking this morning, is just to consider what is my life? If my life was going to describe one of those two bodies of water, what would it look like? Not so much all shriveled up, but is my life more about me and what I want than allowing God's life and developing in me a focus on emptying myself and living selflessly and looking to serve others and focusing on the things that God reveals to us that are true, not just all about himself, but the needs in others. And that as I focus on those things and am determined to see and fulfill needs in others' lives, there is that which gives strength and encouragement in me to be able to rejoice, to be able to be content. Lord Jesus, thank you for your strength that enables us to rejoice even in the difficult times, to be content even when things don't go our way. Lord, remind us that there is so much that you bring, that you have provided for us, and that you intend to work through us, Lord. Just in the very simple things that we would do to serve one another, to bless one another, to encourage one another. Lord, thank you for Paul's example in the midst of being in prison, that he could demonstrate not only a spirit of praise and rejoicing, but demonstrate a spirit of contentment as well. Lord, help us to see that it's not about what we get or what we don't get. It's what we're allowed to impact other people's lives by giving what we have and sharing the life that you've given to us. Lord, we love you this morning, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity, your goodness, your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.